Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Break down what pride is, break down and identify the different ways pride can manifest itself in our life. And, of course, it would not be me if I did not leave you with tips and strategies of how to eradicate pride out of your life, the prayers to pray, what things to do, what things to be on the lookout for, the symptoms of pride, so that you can cast it down out of your life. Because I'll tell you the truth. If you want to be anything in God, if you want to be close with him in a close, intimate relationship, you have to deal with pride first, because God is strictly against pride. So you have to make sure that none of that is in you if you call yourself working for him, because that is not what Jesus stands for. He stands for humility. So we're going to talk about victory over pride and triumph in humility. So this right here that I'm about to play is part of the Pride series, and then I'll come back to you in the next two Sundays and we'll play part. But you are in for a ride. You are in for a treat, and it's already in session now. So let me go ahead and join you onto what's already in progress as I talk about the spirit of pride. Hallelujah! Years old, I'm just running to him, crying my eyes out, telling him all about my day, telling him what I feel. I'm just laying it all before him like a little child. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for listening to my prayers, for not turning a deaf ear to me, for always, hallelujah, I feel his presence even right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
So it will be all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for his spirit, for the Holy Spirit, who is my comfort, who is my friend, who I can depend on. I love my husband, and we are best friends, and I have some very good people that have been in my life, but there's nothing in comparison to the Holy Spirit, because he's there. And I beseech you, brothers and sisters on this line, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve. If you are saved and you know you can do better, if you know that you can press a little bit more, I beseech you just to do that. I beseech you to get a real intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Become friends with the Holy Spirit. Become friends with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're filled up, like Sister Cynthia said, with the Holy Ghost and that with fire, there's nothing in comparison to that. The Holy Spirit keeps you, even when sometimes you don't want to be kept. The Holy Spirit guides you. When you start to think things that are not right, when you want to contain your flesh, the Holy Spirit warns you. It reminds you of the Word of God. It brings back to you. It is a help unto you and your salvation. And I'm telling you, people of God, if you're fighting some addictions, if you're fighting sex addictions and drug addictions, if you're fighting bad habits and weights and sin that's so easy, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and help you lay it down, will help you set it down so that you can walk in narrow path. Hallelujah. I took ownership. My Jesus. It's the Son of God, who God gave. He gave his only begotten Son so that we should not perish but have everlasting life. And I thank you and honor you today, Jesus, because each and every day he's becoming more and more real in my life. I don't think you can ever reach a plateau where you just think you got it. Every day, the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father, Jesus, they become more and more real and profound in my walk, in my prayer. Every day I seek to be a little child, because that's how the Lord really wants us to be. Somewhere along the line, when we're a child and then we transition into adulthood, we think we know it all.
Yes,
we
yes.
add it all together. We always like to analyze. We get our degrees. We go to school. We attend these seminars, and we think, yeah, we got it. And along the way, we get puffed up. But Jesus said, if you come to me like a little child, he loves children, not because of just their beautiful and young and youthful spirit, but because of their mentality. Their mentality is, well, God, if you tell me, I believe it. I don't have to analyze. I don't have to go and research. I don't have to seek seven other theologians to find out if what you're saying is true. I don't have to question you and ask for 17 different confirmations because, God, if you said it, you said you're a God that cannot lie, I'm going to believe it. Every day, each and every day, I seek the Lord and I say, Lord, make me a little child. Make me as if I'm a child. So when you say something, I believe it. I don't have to have doubt. I don't have to waver in my faith. Let me be like a little child experiencing your glories. And I'm telling you, if you worship him like a little child, if you try not to figure it out, see, this is what we do as believers, because the Bible strictly says his ways and his thoughts are high above our thoughts. But what do we try and do as humans? We try and figure it out. We try and put two and two together. We try and search. But God is saying, you can't search me out. You can't know my ways. They're high above your ways. I'm telling you, people of God, if we just learn to take him at his word, take him at his promises, then he can use us even that much more. Follow in his footsteps that he has laid before us, patterning ourselves after him. And I thank God. I thank God for him showing me that in Revelation, and this is what he gives us to teach to you all little by little, each and every Sunday, each and every life empowerment class, each and every Wednesday for prayer and miracles and manifestations. We try and always leave golden nuggets of things like this to receive him like a little child, to have faith, to endure, because these are all things of his heart. This is the recipe for winning in your salvation, from going from victory to victory. So I give honor to God today. And I, of course, give honor to my apostle. Yes, he is my husband, but guess what, people of God? He is my apostle. He is my pastor as well. Yes, I know we say we co-pastor together, but I submit to him. The Bible says, submit your gifts to those that rule over you. And I submit my gifts to my husband, to my pastor. I love him so dearly, and he always leads me with prayer. I come to him, and I ask him questions. I'll just be thinking about some things, and I say, what do you feel about this? Bible says this, this, and this. How do you feel about this? And we'll pray together. Or he'll say, let me pray it out, or let me research it on my own, and I'll get back to you. And I thank God that he takes the time, even after he's counseling those of KCI. And let me tell you, people of God, it doesn't stop there. We talk to a lot of other people. They hear about our services. They log on as visitors or observers, or they see the things on Facebook and they want to get in contact with us. So we worship, so we counsel them and we pray with them. And even after he's on the phone and doing different things with different people, he still takes the time out with me and answers my questions and takes time with me and gets to the bottom of some of my concerns. And I thank you on today, Apostle. And I give honor to him for knowing, and I say this and I'm going to continue to say this, for knowing that God uses whoever is willing to be used. Now, what do I mean? I thank God that he doesn't have a respect of person, meaning that he allows the women in this ministry to go forth. I'm appreciative for that, and I give God all the glory for that, because there's a lot of still today who have not gotten that revelation, and all they think the women are good for is wiping the brow of the preacher as he preaches and sweats, or bringing water or peppermint, or if they can do something in the ministry, all they can do is stand on the floor. They can't go into the pulpit and maybe give a testimony or sing a song. That's all that they're good for. But let me tell you something, people of God, the Bible is rich with how the Lord used women. The Bible is rich with how the Lord used whoever is having an open heart, and people get stuck in their doctrine or titles. Well, there was never a woman apostle. There was never a woman pastor or a priest. And, you know, we get caught up on that. But let me tell you something, people of God. We are living in a day and age where God is saying, I am soon to return. And I'm coming back for a glorious church.
Yes.
And I'm coming back for people
who are
sanctified lifestyles. And let me tell
mm-hmm.
you.
Amen.
The glory. I will remove the calling and place it on somebody else. So if you are not answering the call, he will use whoever's crying out at night, whoever's faithful and consistent in their worship, whoever's reading the word of God and being filled with the knowledge of him. He's going to use and overshadow them with his glory. Doesn't matter your age. You could be 12 years old. You could be 92. You could be a man. You could be a woman. It does not matter. God said, I just want a pure heart in this world.
Yeah.
Your heart. Let me use them. And I thank God that apostle has that revelation and that he does not hold back. He pushes forward. Sometimes we get more pushback just from pushing people than we do just leaving them alone. But that's okay. It lets us know we're doing the right thing because that's what God has called us to do, which is to push people, to train people. Whenever you're training, it's never comfortable. Apostle used that example. Whenever you get a personal trainer in a gym and you want to get in shape, you want to tone up, you want to lose weight, whatever it is, the goal of your trainer is to push you. You might be running on that treadmill. You've already done 20 minutes. He has inclined the treadmill. He set it up. You are out of breath. You are sweating. Your knees are getting weak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I can't do no more. But what is your trying to say? Nope, you got two more minutes. Come on. And they just begin to now muscle you.
Yes.
They begin to muscle you to push yourself. And with that encouragement, with that applause, with that praise, you can do it. You just say, okay, let me get my breath together. I can do it. Two more minutes. And what do you end up doing? You end up doing three more minutes. Let me tell you something. Same way in the spirit realm. You ought to have leaders. We know that of KCI, but for those that are not a part of KCI, if you have a ministry that you're supporting or attending, it ought to be their goal to push you. You ought to want to get in their way and say, push me, pastor, push me, prophet, push me, first lady, whatever it is you need me to do, train me up, because I'm telling you, God is pouring out his spirit among people in this last hour. And it's not just for a few select people. It's just for a few select people. No.
That's
right. He wants to pour it upon all believers and followers.
Hallelujah.
He wants to pour it out on all of us. But we always say, well, that's their calling, and that's what they, you know, that's just what God got for them. No, God is saying it's for whoever can endure, whoever can exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, whoever can have the things in my heart, hate the things that I hate, love the things that I love, whoever can go through the wilderness and come out like pure gold.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I just thank God today. As you all can tell, I'm on fire. God is shifting some things for me. I don't know about you all, but I got to stay focused because I realize how God wants to use his people. I realize how he's saying, I got a call. I got things to do. I want people lives touched. I realize how nations are destined to go to hell. Hear me good. Nations, not people. Nations are destined to go to hell on the day of judgment. But God is saying, somebody would just answer the call, if somebody would just go through the rigorous training and come out, I can send you to India. I can send you to Indonesia. I can send you to Asia where they're worshiping gods of every kind. They got a god of light. They got a god of darkness. They got a god of food. They got gods of rats. They got gods for fishing, and they got gods of shipping and businesses. For every single thing. They got idols for breads and idols for poultry. They got idols for chicken. They got idols for building. And I mean, every single thing. I was researching it, and I'm just like, my God, today, Lord, you know, God wants to go over and cross the shores so that we can be able to talk to the people and let them know that man, from Galilee, that can save and give you hope, that can deliver. But God is saying, I got to train them. I need them to know about warfare. I need them to know about the word of God. I need them to know about endurance. They need to know about rejection. They need to know how to pull down the stronghold. They need to know how to fight the strong man and bind him up so that we can take the people. God is calling his people, but I'm telling you, people of God, you got to be encouraged and you got to keep pressing, because this is not given to the few. It is given to all that will believe and all that will take a stand and
yes.
endure.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have an example through Jesus Christ. We have an example through Jesus Christ. He is our example. I know he was perfect. I know he was perfect, but he still was an example of how we should strive in every conversation, even when people come against us and try and pick arguments, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your marriage. God gave us the example of how to have peace, how not to get caught up in mess, how not to have idle conversations, how to hate the things that he hates, how to love the things that he loves, how to take rebuke and how to take criticism, and how to take when somebody slandering your name. God was the example.
Preach.
God told us in his word in Matthew.
Yeah.
He said, take my yoke. He said that. He said, take my yoke. Take my yoke. He said, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, meaning humble in heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul. Learn of me. That was a command. That wasn't a question. He said, learn of me. I don't get how sometimes we come across a lot of people, apostles, pastors, regular laymen, saints, whatever you want to call yourself, and they always say, well, I want more of the Lord, and I just want to be used. But then I always give them a question. How are you learning? You know, you want to be close to the Lord, and you want to be used by the Lord, but you got to know who you are and who your inheritance is. You got to learn about your new lineage. You got to learn about how you're serving and how he is going to use you. You know, we get a lot of prayer requests. Pray for me so that I can learn his voice. Pray for me so that I can know how he's leading me. But God is saying the biggest way you can know me is to learn about me through my word.
Amen.
Love miracles.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in miracles. I'm like, Captain Kuhlman, I believe in miracles. That's what she used to always say on her show, and also when she did crusades. I believe in miracles as well.
Amen.
But there's another part to that. We got to learn the word of God so that we can begin to make our own miracles manifest and also maintain the miracles that have happened. So many times we have prayed for people and we've given them instructions with the word of God. We say God can easily heal you. That's not a hard thing to him. Nothing is hard for him, but you got to do this, this, and this to maintain your miracle. This is what it says in the word of God. They take the miracle, they start feeling good, they start rejoicing, and they go back to a heathen lifestyle. So what happens to the miracle? The healing that they just got, the money they just got, it dissipates. God lets us know that he has given us grace, but God covers grace in our life when we have humility and we're able to be obedient. We forfeit that grace when we enter into rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the Lord part of today. I'm talking about how to walk in his footsteps on today. There's so much in the Lord's heart. There's so much that he's passionate about. Don't get me wrong. I mean, this is just one of some things, but this is one of the major things in his heart that he's really looking to purge out of people, out of ministries, and that is the spirit of pride.
Amen. Amen.
You hear that a lot. Sometimes we've heard it so much that we become desensitized to the word. It has no power now, because now we use it just like we use grace. Just like we use love, we just abuse it. Yeah, okay, God's grace. So I just bask in his grace. Oh, his grace covers me. Or God loves me. He understands my heart. He loves me. He loves me so I could do this. I could smoke this blunt. I can go here. I could drink this chocolate. I can listen to this music. I can go ahead and masturbate. I can go ahead and lust after this.
Okay.
I can go ahead and fill on my breast and fill on my penis. I can go ahead and do this. I can go ahead and watch this HBO. He loves me, and he knows my heart. I'm trying.
Come on,
are you really trying to model after my footsteps? Are you really, really trying to walk in the footsteps that I've laid?
Man. My God. Amen.
I'm talking about his heart on today. The word of God it brought me to a scripture that I used to always read. And, you know, we were kind of, some of you all probably heard this message, and we would kind of talk about it. And this is Psalm for those of you all that have your Bible. I know some of us call in and they're at work, and some of them can't even talk because they're at work, or you might be in a car. And this is why I encourage you all to listen back to the callback line. But for those of you all that do have your word on today, I want you to turn to Psalms 18:13. Psalms 18:13. Psalms 18:13. For the most part, when I was starting to read the Word of God, Psalm was the first book that I learned how to find because it was so big. Yeah. It's really like almost in the middle of the Bible. So if you just open up your Bible, sometimes you just land straight in Psalms if you open it towards the middle.
Amen.
And of course, you always have your book of contents. I just want to encourage the people of God who are just beginning to get in their Word, be encouraged. Sometimes we go places in the Bible, in the body of Christ, and, you know, the pastor, whoever's speaking, is saying, turn to St. John and turn to Nahum and turn to, you know, sometimes they use some of the books that we hardly preach from, and you don't want to be embarrassed. So, you know, you're noticing everybody is finding it real quick. But I just want to encourage you all, don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. You are where you are in the Lord, and that's why you're there at that ministry. That's why you're there in that service, so that you can grow, so that you can familiarize yourself with the Word of God. So be encouraged, because I know I've been there. I'm like, oh, God, everybody's finding it. And you know what? It seemed like the type of material the Bible is made from, the pages make such a loud sound. So while everybody's all quiet and found it, you still flipping, and you're trying to turn it real quiet and slow. And, you know, you just be like, okay. Then you end up just saying, forget it. I'm going to pretend I found it. And you end up in you just look up and just nod your head like, yeah, and you hold it close to your chest. So just in case your neighbor looking, they're like, they're not in Psalm, they're in something else. So I just want to encourage you all, be proud of where you are. You are growing. You are learning. I'm telling you, and I'm a pastor, I'm an apostle. I'll be lying if I told you I knew where every 66 book is. Sometimes I got to go to the table of contents because there's some books in the Bible that I don't frequent. I'll just be honest. I may not study some of the more lesser chapters that are in the Bible. You know, there are some books that we barely kind of go to, you know, Nahum. And, you know, sometimes we don't even go to that because God got us in another book. And you just be like, oh, where is Nahum? I know it's in the Old Testament, that sometimes it's in the New Testament. So I just have to do that because I know sometimes people just be like, well, you know, she only give a certain amount of time for people to find the Word of God. But I you got to learn how to work with people.
Amen.
And give them because you don't want anybody to feel like they have been left out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to consider the least because God considers the least, and I want to walk in His footsteps. Amen. So I said, turn to Psalms 18 and 33. Psalms 18 and 33. We probably have heard this, maybe even in a song or something, but it says, He maketh my feet like pine feet, and setteth me upon my high place. It says, He maketh my feet like hind feet, and setteth me upon my high places.
Yeah.
Now, I know maybe not you, but I've heard this preached before. And, I mean, it was awesome the way they preached it. It talked about the hind feet. And then they probably talked about, you know, how it's from a deer and how, you know, the hind feet are stable. It's really where on most four-legged animals, your hind feet is your strongest feet. You're able to jump. If you're a jumper, if it's a type of animal that can propel and jump, they usually start off at their hind feet, and then they propel themselves or push themselves forward. They talk about the strength of the kick probably of the hind feet. If you know a four-legged horse, when they kick you, or a donkey, when they kick you, that hurts. The hind feet is usually what they do. So I want to look at it from a different perspective on today, and I want to talk about some things that are on the Lord's heart. And it says, He maketh my feet like hind feet and setteth me upon my high places. Now, this is talking about when David was writing this. It talks about the hind feet are the two back paws of a female deer. A female deer. Now, this is something unique. I don't know if most people know this. If you do, this is a reminder. It talks about how the hind feet of a female deer are unlike any other four-footed animal. If you know how to hunt, maybe you know about this, but when you're hunting, especially in the snow, you'll look for footprints. That's how you can know where your prey is going or where they're coming from, or at least where their habitat is. You look for footprints. And for most animals, especially if they're four-footed, you can see about four sets of footprints. You can see a front and you can see a back. Well, for a female deer, you'll only see footprints of two. You'll only see two paw prints on the ground when she walks. The reason for that is because the deer's hind or the back paw, when she walks or runs, the back paw lands directly in the print of the front paw.
Right, wow. Right.
So when she's running or walking, instead of doing, you know, two sets, the front and back, her, and without even thinking, this is just how she's made, her back paw goes right into the previous footprint of the front paw.
Right, right.
Now, that's awesome, and that's also revelation, because I believe David was writing this prophetically, and he was speaking to the body of Christ, where we ought to be just like God, because if God is the leader of our life, he's the head of our life, he is the front paw. Now, why in the world, if God is the front paw and he is the one to go before us and we are to walk in his footsteps, why would we be having extra set of footprints when we're walking the same path with God?
Amen.
I try to say, in my footsteps. To be disaligned. There's no way that if you're supposed to be claiming my name, living in my name, having salvation, preaching my word, and you got it on the back of your car in a bumper sticker, it's all on your Facebook, you got the big old cross on your neck or hanging from your rearview mirror in your car. I mean, you just
everything
extra. You got a big old tattoo cross on your arm, everything. He's saying, now why when I look behind me, do I see another set of footsteps?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
He said, why are you not following in my footprints? I can look behind me and see the same two footprints in the snow.
Come on, man. Yeah. Amen.
Woo.
God
is saying, how are you modeling after me?
Amen.
And there's so many different ways the Lord can take this, but this specific day, he wanted me to take it by the way of pride. And he wanted me to just show a little bit about how pride works. And for most of you all, you may have known this already, but pride, as I like to say, it is the mother sin. It is the mother sin. Why do I call pride the mother sin? Because, one, it is the first sin.
Amen.
The very first sin.
Yeah.
Pride is one of the hardest. Hear me good. And this is something, just to let you know, that we're going to continue to teach on throughout eternity, until the Lord either catches us up or until Apostle and I pass away. This is just going to be one of those things you won't hear often, because there is no such thing as always or overcoming pride when you never have to battle it again. Pride is always going to try and sneak its way up in your life. It is a daily fight. But I'm going to give you some tools. I'm going to lead you into some type of revelation today, how to stay prepared to fight the spirit of pride. Pride is the hardest enemy to see or detect.
Yes.
It is a subtle prince demon spirit.
Yes.
And this is something that Satan uses before he goes in to destroy you. He sends in the spirit of pride first. The word of God in Proverbs 16:18, you don't have to go there, but you can write it down, Proverbs 16:18, and it just talks about how pride goes before destruction. But there's a key word. It says before. Pride goes before destruction. It's key to understand that pride is not destruction, but it is sent as an ambassador before the destruction comes. Pride is the ambassador for your destruction. The devil wants to destroy you through the weaknesses not covered by grace. Oh, I talked about that just a few minutes ago. The devil wants to destroy you through the weaknesses that are not covered by grace. The word of God lets us know that he gives us grace, and his grace is sufficient. But, like I said, you can cancel your grace if you start to operate your weakness in pride. Understand, people of God,
come on now.
We are not perfect. And I think we use that too much, too, but that's another segue. But we are not perfect, but we ought to strive for perfection.
Amen.
We have weaknesses. Some of you all on here, you may have a weakness or a flaw of being short-tempered or being quick at the mouth.
Easy
to cut somebody off, maybe use the profanity. Some of you all, it might be a flaw to forgive somebody. Somebody wronged you. You got a reputation of holding a grudge. You want to let that thing go. God is saying that's fine. That is absolutely okay. Come to me as you are. But if you come to him in brokenness saying, God, I need you. You are my temperament. You are my long suffering. Lord, I need your spirit within me. Help me to love people. Help me to forgive people. I mean, if you go to him in worship and you go to him, he said, I'll cover you with my grace. My grace is sufficient. Just keep on pressing after me. Keep on applying my word in those weakness of areas. But when you start to operate in the weaknesses in pride, you forfeit your grace.
Amen.
You got a short temper, and then you start to boast about it. Yeah, people know not to come to me, because if you step to me, I'm going to cut you up. You come to me, you step to me, I'm going to shut you down, because I know Girl, please, let me tell you something. Girl, that girl tried to come to me, and I cut her up. I cursed out so bad, she went home crying to her mama. I mean, that's
Jesus.
Not the you got pride in your weakness. You a man, and you love to fight. You used to do that maybe in the street, and then you talking about, they know not to come to me because I've got some paws, put them paws on them, and all that type of stuff.
You tell the truth.
About the damage you can do to somebody else.
Yeah, God, help Jesus.
Sex, and then you go around people talking about, I know how to seduce her. I know how to, I know how to get her wet and all that. I'm just being truthful. These are the conversations that people, so-called believers, are having. About the things that they can do that is against the word of God. To people who have not we are a real ministry. Because finds out, people of God, that if we kind of sweep it under the rug, or we try and put it nicely, they're too smart and they play stupid. Well, since they didn't call out my specific sin, then I don't know what she's talking about. So God has made a mandate on this ministry to Apostle and I, call it out. If that's what you want, then you need to expose it. And people used to say, just don't do things that are not right when you get in the bedroom. No, if it's masturbating, if it's stealing on yourself, if it's watching hardcore porn, then call it out. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is not playing, and he wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to destroy you with the spirit of pride.
My God. Yes.
Amen.
Pride deprives and kills so many people of God through rebellion and through lust. And it ain't all about sex, because not everybody is struggling with sex. Lust can be anything. Lust can be the enticement and the desire that is not of the Lord. The Bible says, abide in me, and I abide in you, and I give you desires of my heart, all of that.
Yeah.
We got to abide in him, so his desires become our desires. When we start designing a car, we may really, really, really need a car. Apostle and I, at this point, but let me tell you something, people of God, God said he's going to do it. We're praising him for it. But at this point right now, we need a car. When you start to believe for a car and want and desire a car, so much so that it has now overcome your relationship with God. What am I saying? Apostle and I need a car. Our car is tore up right now. Our windows don't work. Our locks don't work. Our gas tank handle don't work. We have a permanent white signal that won't cut off. It's an electrical shortage, and the mechanics are paying hundreds of dollars to try and get it fixed. I'm telling you, people of God, when we go around maybe 70 miles per hour, the whole car shakes and trembles. You can't hear anybody. We try not to talk to people in the car because we're screaming. Yeah?
Well, God is going to work it out. I mean,
yes.
the window that is broken is permanently down, so we, no
yes,
matter if it's snowing or raining, we are going to feel the full effect of any type of inclement weather because the window won't raise. And that's just a little bit of what's going on. We need a car, and rightfully
Jesus.
So. With that being said, people of God, oh, yeah, not to mention we have carbon dioxide that leaks into the car. So we have to ride with the window down, even if it's 30 below, even if it's 2 degrees or 12 degrees, because carbon dioxide comes in so strong it gives you a headache. And that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah,
we really need a car. I'm saying all this because, you know, some people say, oh, I need a new car, but they can really make it last, you know. But I know
right.
we really need a car. So rightfully so, we go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you see that we need a new car. Lord, you see that we need to get from A to Z. You see I need that to go to work. Lord, please don't let this car clunk out on me. When you start lusting after that car and your prayer goes from just a one sentence, God, I thank you for the new car, to now every time you go before the Lord, you are now saying, God, I need a new car. Lord, what about my car? Lord, I want this type of car. You start looking in magazines and you start everything when it comes down to the Lord is about your car. That is what the lust, and it changed from just a pure petition, a pure supplication before the Lord, and now you're letting that one desire dominate your whole prayer life. You're letting that one desire get in between just praising the Lord for who he is. Instead, you bombarding him about your car. Now, don't get me wrong, you are to make your petition known unto the Lord, and you are to go in faith and pick out what you want, but don't let that upscale just your pure relationship and personal, intimate worship time with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's a thin line when you're moving in Christ. And I'm going to expose some things on today, and I am not going to be before you long unless the Holy Spirit comes in and he decides to do something else. But I want to draw your attention to how there's different types of pride. Because I'll just be honest, we hear pride normally when it's in the evangelical realm. When we're talking about people and their calling, don't get prideful. Because people start moving into the realm of good preaching and prophecy, and everybody's seeking after them to come and visit their ministry. And then we say, well, don't get prideful. Oh, he's full of pride.
Right.
You know? So, but there are many, many, many different type of ways you can have pride. But I'm just going to list 16 of them. And that's a lot. But there's even more. You can have the pride of life. That's number one. You can have the pride of life. Now, I want to be clear because I want to say that when we think about pride, we think about pretty much the same thing. But I want to say just for clear basis what pride means before I even get into what the different types of pride is. We know that pride enters in the door of your heart. That's how pride gets in. Pride is not a thought. It doesn't start off as a thought, I should say. It does allow you to think some things, but it enters into your heart. This is why we talk about this over and over again about your heart. It's all about your heart. Get your heart right. Let your heart be on God. Repent.
Yeah.
You got to plead the blood of Jesus and repent. Even if you felt like you didn't do anything to offend the Lord, you got to always repent because you don't know what is in your heart. Lord, purge us of anything that is not like you. Expose it in our heart. Lord, show me what's in my heart, the deep crevices, because there's some hidden deep things in our heart that we may have buried when we were 6 years old, and it's good and tight and locked up, but God said, I see it, and it's stinking, and I need you to want it out of you. I need you to want it purged out of you. That's why your prayers are important, and that's why we pray the way that we do. Purge us of all iniquity.
Yeah.
So pride enters in your heart when humility is not invited. So when you are not welcoming humility, because that's something, understand this, humility is a choice. Salvation is given to you after you receive the Lord. But when you start to want now the benefits of his salvation, the benefits of his glory, you've got to seek after that. You've got to seek out fruit of the Spirit. You got to want it executed and exhibited in your life. You got to want humility exhibited in your life. It's not enough to say, God, come into my life and you think you are good. No, God said, now begins the true work. Salvation is easy. I'll wipe your sins away. Nothing is too hard for me. But now you got to work out your own salvation.
Come on now.
Yeah.
So if you're not seeking or inviting humility in your heart, it enters into your heart. Pride does. If you don't have humility, pride say, okay, I'll take it. It's a nice cushy little area. I like that. I'm going to come into your heart. So I want to say pride is defined as an excessively high opinion of oneself. Most of us will even use the word vain or conceited. The prideful person will indulge in self-esteem and personal glory.
That's right.
While someone who is conceited has too high of an opinion of their abilities, their worth, or their personality. Yeah, you could be prideful just in your personality. There are some people who are just high on themselves. They just look at each other. I mean, I'm telling you, they just love their personality. They love that they got a sense of humor. They love that they can always be liked. People can be drunk, as I like to say, drunk on themselves.
Yeah.
Words may be vanity, we are pompous. There's so many different, different words we can use pride in connection. You know, vanity, pompous. You get where I'm coming from. You have a high opinion of yourself or your abilities. It's all about I. The whole point I want to get out of that is I. This is what God This is why he said, learn of me. This is why he said, because I'm lowly in heart. Everything that God is, understand that Satan is the opposite. So if Jesus is lowly in heart and humble, you better rest assured Satan says that I'm high and mighty.
Yeah.
That being said, there are different forms of pride. The first one being pride of life. Someone who demonstrates the pride of life is proud about their material things. Meaning their physical life, their mental life, meaning their knowledge, their education. I'm sure we all have met somebody like that.
Yeah.
Somebody who I went to such and such university and I have 2 doctorates, and someone who has a wonderful mental stability and then they're able to be used in their counsel. Maybe you meet somebody who's a life coach or a counselor and everyone listens to what they have to say. You can get puffed up on that real easily. When people seek you out and they want to listen to what you have to say, if you're not careful and if you're somebody, and it don't even have to be on the grand scale. It doesn't have to be somebody who's on the limelight. You could be that person in your family. You could be the most sound thinking individual in your family, and everyone comes to you because you always offer good advice. But that is not an opportunity for you to become prideful, to let people know, yes, you know, I'm the peacekeeper in my family. Who are you to say that you're the peacekeeper unless God keeps you? And we can understand and find the pride of life in 1 John 2. You can just write it down. 1 John 2:16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The Bible clearly directs us to come out and be separate from the world. But he's letting you know you're going right back in like a target on fire back into the world when you begin to operate in the pride of life. You have to be watchful of this dangerous form of pride because it incorporates materialistic things. And we always like to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. You start to get pride on the things that God gave you and gave you an increase in. He said, okay, just like he did Job, he'll allow it to be taken and sifted away. You better not build your foundation on your home. You better not build your foundation on your belief in your car. You better not build the foundation and the belief in your family because you have a perfect boy and a girl and a husband and a wife and a dog because you look like you're the perfect outlook of a form of a family. God is saying, I'll snatch that from you just like he did with Job. I know in the situation testing him, and he was proven to the enemy that he is devoted unto God, but he was sifted. He was allowed in one car crash. I know a family right now, they had about 7 kids. One accident took 5 kids away.
My God.
5 accidents took the kids away. I mean, honestly, do you not understand how fragile our life are? But yet you have people walking around here thinking that they're all that because they have the house with the white picket fence and they have the education and everybody in the house has degrees and little Katie's in seminary school and Big John, he has his doctorate degree in chemistry. You better not, because he's saying that all these things are materialistic gain and I will take it from you.
Amen.
We know this word has supernatural. Naturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.